Happy Monday for the last time of 2018, everybody. I hope that you're having a great holiday season. Happy New Year's Eve. I'll be ready to celebrate a great wrap up to 2018, and let's kick off 2019 and make this the best year yet. We're getting ready to sit down for another trip report, the last one of the year, but no worries. We have lots of them lined up already for 2019, so sit back and enjoy this here on your day off. Of course, don't forget about our sponsors. We got our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Two great books, one great website, thewisdomofwalt.com. They have ebooks, audiobooks, traditional books that are signed by author Jeff Barnes. These books talk about Walt Disney and how he chased down his dreams and built teams. And once he built those teams, he got the most out of everyone around him. And we could take those lessons and apply those to our lives with those folks in our family, our coworkers, and it really does help you become a better parent, a better leader at work. They're great books because you get that Disney fix that we're all craving, especially this time of year. But also, I think every time I read one of these books, I walk away with a strategy I want to apply to my life the next time I'm interacting with my peers. So check them out today. Great gifts. You know, even though the holiday season's over, you could still surprise somebody and make their 2019 awesome. So check them out, thewisdomofwalt.com. Make a New Year's resolution to stay out of lines and save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. For really, probably less than the cost of a drink at Walt Disney World tonight, you're getting 365 days of great information. Make 2019 awesome. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Episode 1427 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy New Year's Eve to you. Hopefully you have a great day and night lined up. Let's close out 2018 the right way. Of course, how we probably came into the year with a trip report. And, you know, hey, maybe you're listening to this one a little bit late. And happy 2019. Happy New Year to you. So today we're going to go with a fellow podcaster, fan of the show. I'm good time talking a little Old Key West. I love that place because it's probably freezing in St. Louis today. Man, I could take the tropical breezes of Central Florida and Old Key West Resort. We're going to head out to New Jersey. Matt's joining us today. Matt, how you doing? Happy New Year.
Oh, I'm great. Happy New Year to you as well. I'm excited to be closing out the show this year with you.
Yeah, we're going to, you know, save the best for last, you could say, I guess.
Well, I hope to bring some good information today, so I'll try to make it the best for everyone.
You know what? I saved my best DJ voice for the last show of the year just because I'm fighting a brutal sore throat, cold, fever, everything. But the only great thing that comes about this, I didn't realize it till I walked into the studio 15 minutes ago. I'm like, this is like the Barry White podcast. You know, I might have to deal with all the pain and the misery just to have a voice like this once a year. I kind of like it. I don't sound so, you know, teenagerish. It's pretty cool. So, yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I'll try to do most of the talking to save your voice.
That'll work well. Now, before we get rolling with your trip report and we head out to Old Key West and talk about all the stuff you did, kind of a last-minute trip and the variables, the dynamics that went into that, you have started a podcast, also a Disney podcast. So while we have our audience here, and you know, a lot of folks have free time around the new year, tell us about your show.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, well, I was actually inspired by you. I mean, you were one of the podcasts I was inspired to, and another big one was Inside the Magic. It's been retired for about 3 years now. But so, yeah, my Disney podcast is called XS Press Podcast. And it's the name is actually homage to XS Tech from Extraterrestrial Alien Encounter. But what the show is it's a weekly roundup of the news. So every Sunday night, I release a show and I talk about all the news that has come out for Disney. For the Disney parks. It's strictly just about the Disney parks around the world. And then I actually just started doing a second episode each week where I actually interview cast members. So tonight I'm actually, well, this is New Year's Eve, but by the time this episode comes out, I'll have like five or six interviews out at the time. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun recording with fellow cast members. Well, I mean, I'm not a cast member, but it's nice hearing the insights and the experience that these cast members go to. And so it's a lot of fun. So that's what I do.
That's great to hear, because the more content, the better for us Disney fans. And I like that idea of talking with cast members, because I can only imagine, anytime you're on the inside of an industry, I was in education for 17 years, teachers have the best stories because you've kind of seen and heard and done it all. Where, I mean, I can imagine, I just love sitting on a park bench in Tomorrowland and you see all kinds of crazy stuff, but I can't imagine the type of stuff you'd see as a cast member, both good, crazy, ugly. I mean, you would definitely see it all at a location in a Disney park.
Yeah, I mean, all of the cast members that I've interviewed so far have such unique stories from each other. Like, each one is just entirely different from the other. So it's really cool, and it's great speaking with them. So if anyone out there is a previous cast member, just hit me up. I'll put you on the show.
Oh man, we have lots of cast members. Listen, I love talking to them. So yeah, hopefully they'll contact you. We'll get their stories. And Inside the Magic, that was the first Disney. I was actually the first podcast of any kind I ever found on iTunes back in, I want to say 2005 or six. That's a long time ago.
they were my first Disney podcast, and I haven't found one that does like the news the way that they did. So like, I kind of ran with it similar to them, where I just do the pure news stories. I don't sit and ramble. I just give the news. So I miss them a lot. So.
Yeah, it was a good one. I always wondered how he had the time to put in, because he did it right, Ricky Briganti, back in the day. So, blast from the past. That's what I love about podcasting, kind of the stories, especially of the Disney podcast community, because so many shows have come, and now, unfortunately, a lot of shows have gone. Some have been around for, over a decade, 12 years and, 13 years since the beginning of podcasting. It's fun because, it's kind of, it parallels Walt Disney World or any Disney destination in that, there are some things that are kind of stable. I mean, you got like the Matterhorn at Disneyland, not original, but it's been there forever. You got Walt's apartment, I guess you could say that's always been there and probably always will be. But, many things have changed. And I think it's the same with our Disney community. I love that.
No, that's for sure. Yeah, there's been people around. Yeah, there's been a lot of people around for a long time.
Absolutely. Well, hey, let's head to Old Key West. We're 5 minutes into the show, and I got to hear about one of my favorite places. And you headed down and you booked a trip kind of last minute because, a lot of folks book a year out. So when did you head down, and tell us about the dynamics of putting the trip together?
Sure. So we actually went the first week of March of this year, so 2018. Pretty much how the trip came about was my sister-in-law was going into, she was in her last semester at college and wanted to go away for spring break. So she was seeing what we were doing, and I said, I just threw out the idea why don't we go to Disney World? My father-in-law is a DVC member, so we can use the points for a hotel. So I asked her, she thought about it, but she didn't really want to. So, but now I had the idea in my head, and I'm like, now I really want to go to Disney World. So because like the same exact week the previous year is when I had my bachelor party at Disney World. So and I loved that first week of March. So I was like, let's do it again for the first week of March. The crowd levels were great. So we did that. So we booked. It was a month before. So like end of January, we booked it. And when we booked it, with the DVC points, we just kind of see what's available because it's very last minute. There's not a lot of resorts available. We were staying for about 5 days, and what was left was either Saratoga Springs or Old Key West, and we decided to go to Old Key West. So
tell me about that thinking, because if I was guessing last minute, those are the two resorts I would expect to have availability. Even because I'm not DVC, and a lot of folks, like DVC resorts, but you pay cash and you could stay there. And, they both have their pluses and minuses. I think Saratoga is definitely in the last 2 years trending up because of Disney Springs. I mean, you have just so many options when it comes to dining entertainment with, you know, within a walk right there now, where, you know, maybe 5 years ago that wasn't the case with Downtown Disney. But Old Key West, you got great big units. You got that kind of community feel over there. So what were some of the factors that helped you land at Old Key West over Saratoga?
So it's funny you ask. It was literally two factors. So the first one was the Saratoga Springs. My wife, because they were DVC, her family was DVC members, they went to Saratoga Springs almost every time they went when she was growing up. So she's been there a lot. And she probably went to Old Key West once. So I was like, okay, why don't we do Old Key West? Why don't we do that? But the other main factor was, if you go back and listen to your podcast in like January and February, you guys mentioned Olivia's about a million times.
Don't say it. You know, now that you know about it, you're in there. It's like Fight Club. You can't talk about it.
Mike, I swear you were saying it almost every episode, or at least once a week. You were mentioning Olivia's at the time. So it was stuck in my brain. So I'm like, well, we might as well go to Old Key West because it has Olivia's. So it was those two factors. We chose Old Key West.
It's so funny too, because I went for years and years and never knew anything about Olivia's, and it is a great, I mean, for me, I could eat at a place like a Cracker Barrel, you know, the not really Southern, but kind of the comfort food type, you know, fried chicken, green beans, mashed potatoes, stuff like that. I could do that every night of the week, and that's what Olivia's has. But on top of Olivia's, and then we'll move on before we never get back in this place with an ADR, I will say that it's got a different feel than any other restaurant on property. First of all, when you go in, you see all those amazing family pictures of vacations gone by, and you can see, you know, you see great fashion from the 80s. You know, you see some, you know, you can see, you know, people with fanny packs, and it's just, I mean, it's like, it's almost like looking at somebody's living room at the pictures they might have on the wall from family vacations and stuff like that. And you see it from all over the world. You see, you know, soldiers that are deployed, and, you know, they're all members. You know, this is their home resort, and there's pride there. And then when you walk into Olivia's, the serving team, you know, the servers are just, they're amazing. Like, they're just like, hey, where you been? You know, and it's like, just glad to have you back home. How can we help you out? I mean, the food is amazing, but it's also, I think, just as much the feel of the place too.
Now, yeah, I agree with all the photos on the wall. I mean, I definitely spent a lot of time looking at all of them. I mean, Old Key West is the Disney Vacation Club resort until they changed the name. And so I think, yeah, a lot of those are like the original members. And it's cool seeing all of those photos on the wall.
All right, so let's talk about Old Key West as a whole. So you guys landed there. You stayed in a two-bedroom, which I got to stay in as well with our friends, the Gardeners. We had an amazing time. Totally different type vacation, because we tended to spend more time in the villa because, you know, we don't get to see each other that much. You know, we saw each other, you know, every few months. This is the first time we actually kind of shared almost like a house. We had a living room. We baked cookies. We sat out on the balcony overlooking the green on the golf course, watched people come through as we were, you know, having snacks. We did the same thing. We had Amazon Prime deliver some, you know, stuff to cook and make. And it was almost just like, it's almost like I'm selling the Disney Vacation Club, but it was like we were home. But, you know, then we'd step out and go to the park. So how'd you feel about Old Key West?
Yeah, so I wasn't sure. Like, Old Key West was never in my mind. Like, I never really had the desire to stay there. But since we were kind of forced to between one or two options, we did. But I think I forgot to mention. So the availability. Yeah, we had a two. Like you said, we got to stay in a two bedroom villa. That's all that was available for the. We went for 5 days, 6 nights, or yeah, 5 days, 6 nights. So we had this big room. So it was just me, my wife, and we're like, okay, well, we have all of this space. Like, let's see if anyone could just join us last minute. So we were actually able to get two of our friends to join us, but not till like the last 2 days of the trip, because they live in Atlanta, but they were actually going to be in Florida anyways. So they joined us at the end of the trip. So we were able to use some of the room, but so Old Key West as a whole, I actually loved it. And I think the best part about Old Key West was when you come back to the resort, it's like you're literally going home.
Yes. It's a community. Like, it's like a Central Florida community to me,
yeah,
more than a resort.
It is. It's a community. Like, you're seeing people kind of going on walks. Like, you're not there's no families with screaming kids around. I mean, it's just a big community. So like every single time we came home, it felt like we were home. It didn't feel like we were at Disney. And I think that's what really made it special. And the room as a whole, I mean, the bedrooms at Old Key West are, I think, the biggest on property since they're, like I said, since it is the original Disney Vacation Club, the very first one, they made the rooms bigger. The other villas are not as big anymore. So like there's tons of space in the room. And we had, I don't know how we got so lucky, but we had the top floor and we had a great view of the river where the boats drive by to go to Disney Springs. So we had a really great view, but we loved it. I mean, we were very, really close to the bus stop. I mean, I think maybe the worst part was the amount of times we had to wait either for the buses or to get back to the hotel. So,
yeah, it's a great place, you know, and as a runner, it's a good place to run. And I'll tell you that, you know, it's the small things, I think, that you start picking up on when you go to Disney frequently, when you go to Walt Disney World. And one of the things I really, really enjoyed, and I would imagine you see this a lot at the DVC resorts, you know, more opposed to like the regular typical like Pop Century or Riverside, you know, regular standard resorts, is that, you know, as I was going on my runs, you would see, because I think it's a big advantage to have a car when you're at Old Key West, because it is kind of spread out. And sometimes, you know, it's a hike to the main building, you know, if you want to go down to the Gurgling Suitcase or, you know, Olivia's or what have you. But the thing is, like, I enjoyed seeing the cars from all over the country, you know, all the license plates. But more than anywhere else that I've ever stayed is that you saw the cars tricked out as Disney fans. You know, you saw more personalized plates that said, like, Disney FN, or you would see, you know, the Mickey's on the, you know, the bumper stickers. And, you know, I like that because, you know, it's like we're preaching to the choir today, but I mean, those are my peeps, you know, and I love seeing how people trick out their rides, you know, and it's like, and, okay, they've been looking forward to this trip just like I have.
Yeah. And I think if I were to ever stay at Old Key West again, I think I would actually rent a car, because I feel like it would make it so much easier to get around from park to park. Cause I honestly felt like the biggest downside, I felt like we waited a lot for the buses. But what's the best part about it, there's literally a space right in front of your building. Like you could just walk out downstairs, your car's right there. Like you don't have to venture to a parking lot at all. There's a spot right in front of your place. So I would probably recommend renting a car. I mean, if you can have the added expense, I would do that. And if I were to stay there again, I would totally rent a car.
Agreed. All right. So let's talk outside of Old Key West. You guys, you know, booking last minute, you know, you don't have first choice of accommodations all the time, but also you're going to be kind of behind the eight ball when it comes to ADRs and fast passes. How did that work out for you?
So actually really well. So I'll start with, I'll preface by saying, We really want to make this a relaxed trip, because we didn't want to go to park opening to park close. Like my wife and I were not really those type of people anymore. This was really a relaxed vacation. So we wanted to be spontaneous. So I'll start with the dining. So when our friends came in on one of the days we were going to Hollywood Studios, we made two ADRs. We made one for 50s Prime Time and Homecoming later that night. But otherwise, we didn't do any other ADRs. And we just kind of like all the other days, we just figured out what we wanted along the way. But when it came to fast passes, I made the fast passes, but we didn't get, at first, we didn't get any of like the top, like the hard to get fast passes, like Flight of Passage or Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. But I kept at it. I kept going through the app and being proactive and seeing if I can get it. And guess what? 2 days before I left for the trip, I got an 8 o'clock in the morning fast pass for Flight of Passage. And then a day before, I got another fast pass for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. So I think if you're just really proactive and if you're looking a day or two before, like you're going to the parks, I think people cancel all the time. You just really have to be on your phone and looking. So, like, I guess I got lucky, but we were able to get all the hard-to-get fast passes.
And that's a great tip. You know, you just have to be resilient and persistent with those fast passes and checking the availability. And that's, you know, it's a great part of having the app right there on your phone is that, you know, as a teacher, maybe when you're on your plan period, I know you're supposed to be grading papers, but, you know, you can pull it out and just check and, you know, do the same at work over your lunch. And the thing is, too, is that with room-only reservations, you know, this is just, these are like benchmarks to think about. You know, if you're canceling a package, you got to do that 30 days prior to check-in so you don't lose your deposit. It's 6 days, well, 5 days prior for a room-only reservation. So you got to realize that when somebody cancels at that point so that they don't lose their deposit, what happens is when you make that cancellation, it drops all fast passes that are associated with that reservation. So you got to realize that happens hundreds of times a day. So they're recycling, you know, those people probably do have, you know, Flight of Passage, Slinky Dog. So it's kind of like a lottery, but I mean, you know, somebody's got to win. So just stick with it. And it sounds like it worked out well for you.
No, it did. I mean, I also forgot to mention, we got Frozen Ever After as well. So that it was another one that we got at like maybe at like a few days before our trip. So it's people drop it. Just be proactive if you're not going to get it. I mean, a lot of people I know, they really want to get Flight of Passage and they're going on these trips and they don't have the passes. I'm like, just keep checking your phone. Just keep checking and you'll get it eventually. At least I hope. So
that's right. All right, one other thing I want to ask you about, because you know, you had the Prime Now experience, you know, you used Amazon to get some stuff delivered to the resort. So how did that work out for you and what were the mechanics involved?
I mean, I took your advice. I've been doing it. So this is that was our second time doing it. I did it once at the bachelor party a couple years ago. Then I did it this past year. But I mean, I took your own advice. So what I like to do is I add everything in my cart before I even go to the trip. So like maybe like a week or so before I leave, I just start adding things, figuring out what we need. We mostly get like breakfast items and snacks, and water and soda or whatever we need. And I just put it all in my cart. So once we fly from New Jersey to Orlando, as soon as I land, I take my plane or my phone off airplane mode, and I just hit buy. I buy everything in my cart. I set up the delivery, and then when I get to the hotel, pretty much by the time I get there, the food is there all ready for me.
That's a great way to do it, because that way you're not, you know, you don't want to have that extra stress of trying to figure out what you need once you're there. You know, that's time wasted. Do it when you're at home and anticipating the trip. You know what? And it actually makes you more excited for the trip going through, you know, hey, what do we want to have for breakfast when we get down there? Do we want Pop-Tarts? Do we want Rice Krispie Treats? Whatever. So good call. All right. So you finally, you know, Wednesday night, you kind of chill out, and that's exactly what you need to do when you have a nice two-bedroom villa at Old Key West. But Thursday, you guys get up and go to Animal Kingdom. So talk to us about some of the highlights there.
Yeah. So that was we got up early that morning because that's when we had an 8:05 a.m. fast pass for Flight of Passage. So what we ended up doing was we get to the park probably around like 7:30, but we don't ride the fast pass first. What we do is we actually just go on to Navi River Journey because there's absolutely no line for it at all. It's a walk on because everyone's lining up for Flight of Passage. So we're like, okay, let's go ride Navi River Journey. We waited 5 minutes or so, got on that. And then after that, we kind of toured Pandora. Pandora is beautiful. It was our first time seeing it. I'm a big fan of the movie Avatar. So it was like everything that I could hope for. And then, I mean, Flight of Passage just took my breath away. Like I was in tears at the end because like, to me, I literally felt like I was flying. If that was the sensation of flying, like that's what it would feel like. And one thing I did want to mention, because I know a lot of people get motion sickness and are worried about it. I actually get really bad motion sickness, but I take Dramamine to counteract. And usually I'm fine on rides. Like if I go on Everest, I can do it once, but then like I can't like ride it over and over like some people. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any issues at all with Flight of Passage. I took my Dramamine, but by the time I was finished with it, I wasn't sick at all. I mean, maybe motion sickness is different for everyone, but I have it pretty bad and I was fine. So, Pandora was absolutely beautiful. Loved it.
That's a good tip though, because you're being proactive again. You know, again, so much about your vacation is determined by how you anticipate things, you know, and I think that, you know, folks that have been there many times kind of know what to expect, how to be ready for that situation. But also, you know, we have a lot of folks that listen that, you know, are getting ready for a first time Walt Disney World vacation and stuff like this, you know, because you can buy those little packs of Dramamine, you know, they're in like almost looks like a little chapstick container. Throw it in your pocket. If you don't need it, you don't need it. But you know what? It might help. So it's good to have things like that. Now, you kind of broke the day up. You did the morning at Animal Kingdom, went back, took a nap, which I'm a I'm a nap fan because I don't like to be cranky in the evening. So you did that, went back at night. So what was it like, breaking up the day like that? Would you do that again?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, we're, like I said, we can't do all day in the parks anymore. And I mean, we don't need to. Like I said, we're just being really relaxed. But yeah, when we were in the park in the morning, we didn't know what we wanted to do for dinner, if we were going to go to Disney Springs or whatever. But I definitely did want to see Pandora at night. So we were going to come back to Animal Kingdom anyway. And then we were actually passing by Tiffin's. Kind of on our way out of the park. And my wife was like, oh, what's this? I'm like, oh, it's a new, one of the new signature restaurants. And she was like, oh, you want to eat here for dinner tonight? And I'm like, yeah, sure. So I just looked in the app and sure enough, there was an ADR for maybe like 7 o'clock. So we made the ADR for Tiffin's and yeah, we went back to the room and napped. It was a great nap. And I think we got back to the Animal Kingdom by like 5 o'clock, and then I was checking the app for the wait times for Flight of Passage. I saw that it was a 70-minute wait. I'm like, let's wait. I want to ride this thing again. 70 minutes is worth it, and every time I kept checking the app before I even left on the trip, it was always like 90 minutes or above. Like, I've never seen it that low. So I was like, all right, we're gone. We booked it to Flight of Passage. We only waited 60 minutes, but it was well worth it. So,
I was actually going to say that, 70 minutes is like walk on for that,
yeah.
for that attraction.
Pretty much.
Anything in the double digits.
Yeah. I mean, the 60 minutes was worth it, but it was also cool because I didn't see the queue the first time since we went through Fast Pass. The queue is worth seeing by itself. I mean, the queue is fantastic. But yeah, then after that, we saw just Pandora kind of transform into night, which is great. And then, Tiffin's was fantastic. I think we got the bread service, which is excellent. My wife got like the pork belly ramen bowl, which was great. And I got the venison, which was amazing. So yeah, great meal at Tiffin's. So.
That is a complete day at Animal Kingdom, especially with all the new stuff. It's definitely, the best of the last, few years. That's sweet.
Oh, sure. Nice. Yeah, I mean, we hit all the other major attractions as well. I think we skipped the safari this time, but we did everything else, and it was a great day. Great day at Animal Kingdom.
All right, so the next day is Friday. Your friends come down, meet you guys, do the Magic Kingdom. So highlights from the Magic Kingdom day.
Yeah, so funny thing about Friday, so this was a different set of friends. It was the Super Bowl in February, and we don't care about football. We're not football fans, but we have other friends with two kids that live in Connecticut. So like, why don't we come to you guys for the Super Bowl? They didn't care about it either, but instead we all just got together and ate food anyways. So
that's good.
So when we got together with them, they were mentioning like, oh yeah, we're going to Disney World in a few weeks. And we're like, wait, we're going to Disney World as well in a few weeks. And we found out that we were going to be there the same exact time. So it was a big family trip for them. So we ended up just spending a good chunk of the day at Magic Kingdom with them. So they got to the park in the morning, but we didn't get to there till probably like close to noon. And we actually headed to Pinocchio House, where we met them. And funny thing about that was it was lunchtime, so we were hungry. So they didn't know about the mobile food ordering on the app. So I think they waited, it took them about 40 minutes to get their food because of the long line.
Yeah.
We got there, ordered our food, and within 10 minutes we had it, and we were almost done eating by the time they even brought their food back.
The more you know.
Yeah. So I told them, like, make sure you guys use this if you're going to do it again. So
that's a way to sell them. So now that is cool because that's happened quite a few times over the years with us, folks from back here in St. Louis. We happen to run across them, whether it's, other teachers that my wife and I have taught with or, families from Mallory's dance class or what have you. And it is kind of fun, to catch up and get to be in a cool place like the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, no, it was great. I mean, it's my wife's best friend. So they went to school together. They studied abroad together. So it was great seeing them. And she loves the kids. So my wife kind of just wanted to hang out with the kids all day. So at one point I think my wife and I went to the Haunted Mansion. One of the couples actually, they had, like I said, it was a big family trip. And one of the couples also had Haunted Mansion fast passes as like same times as us. So we went together. And then after that, we actually had Space Mountain Fast Passes as well that were similar in time. So my wife actually gave her Magic Band to the husband of the kids. So because he really wanted to ride it, he's just been on like he's gone on Dumbo and Small World. So he just not it was his first time at Disney World. So he's wanting to experience some other rides. So we went on Space Mountain. He came with us. We did that. So it was like a nice break from the family and kids.
And, you know, that can be a challenge, though, sometimes when you meet up like those impromptu meetups with friends that might be there at the same time, because obviously more than likely you've got different sets of fast passes. And when you're kind of traveling as a herd and want to stay together, it becomes a challenge to kind of match things up. But I mean, I think you just have to be creative and do things like that, you know, swap Magic Bands sometimes. And, you know, if you play around, sometimes you can make like, you might not have the same fast pass times, but if you can get within like a 5-minute overlap, you know, maybe one 7 to 8 and one is, you know, 7:55 to 8:55. Boom. You just go in that 5-minute little window and you got to think a little bit outside the box, but you can make it happen even on the fly.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't plan anything at all. It just happens that they had, we had overlapping fast passes. So, but yeah.
All right. So let's talk about Saturday at Epcot. I'll make sure we get all this in because you got a lot going on over there. So you guys kind of had a little magical happen over at Test Track.
Yeah, so there's actually a few funny stories that happened at Epcot that day. So, like, I kind of wasn't sure if I should tell this story, but I had a funny experience with a cast member. So I kind of saw this one family kind of giving this hard time to this cast member waiting in line. And I saw, like, so if imagine the Test Track queue, if everyone's familiar with it. So there's the big area where you wait on a number. So there's like, I think 1 through 8. So like they'll put families on like each number. So right before that big area, I was like first in line to then get to the next area or to get to that area. So I'm just waiting around. And as everyone's waiting on their numbers, I see that cast member kind of talking about his like experience with like that one family. And it was just not a great experience for him. So I kind of overheard him talking about it to other cast members. So sure enough, as the room clears out, he goes to put my wife and I on one of the numbers and we get on number one. And as he does it, I kind of like mimic what that family was doing in a very sarcastic way, just to make him laugh. And he started laughing hysterical. He thought it was great. I was just having a funny moment with him, trying to make light of the situation and just, just being sarcastic. So we're just on our numbers. My wife and I were on our number, just mind our own business, waiting to get into the design studio. And he comes over and he ends up handing us a rider switch pass to ride Test Track again. So it was a free pass for just having that like funny little moment with him.
That's awesome though, because you know what? He probably appreciated that, because you know, you got to find humor in tough situations sometimes. I think that you know, everybody comes out ahead. You get a fast pass, he gets a laugh, and you know, and on with your day.
Yeah. I mean, we actually didn't even end up using the rider switch, but during the time, it was actually for the first weekend for the Flower and Garden Festival. So we were actually waiting in line to get some of the barbecue in American Adventure. And behind us, we just started talking to this family of three, and they were just super excited to be there. They were really happy. And I just talked to my wife. I'm like, hey, you want to give them the rider switch? Because the rider switch was only up to three people. So we gave them the pass, and there was three of them. It was a mother, daughter, and like a teenage, or a mother, father, and then like a teenage daughter. And we gave them the pass, and they were just like super ecstatic. So, but I think it worked out for karma for us, because after we ordered our food, there was an error, and then we got a free pulled pork slider. So
I'd make that trade any day.
Yeah. So we still won in the end. We got some free food at Disney, which is kind of rare.
Yes,
so.
It is. The people kill each other for free dining food. during certain times. You know, I will tell you though, that's one of the things I do miss about the old Legacy Fast Pass system, is that, you know, there were so many times we'd walk out of the Magic Kingdom swim with, you know, three or four sets of fast passes that we just decided, you know, we're going back to the hotel. We just want to swim. You know, we don't ride anything else. And so you'd find a family. It was always like looking out for, like, okay, we're a family of four. So we got to make sure we try to find a family of four to give these fast passes to.
Yeah.
And my kids loved it because it was like just spreading a little magic around. And unfortunately, that's kind of gone away with the magic bands.
No, I mean, yeah, my wife and I, we had our first trip in 2013, and we actually did that a lot. There were a few times where we weren't able to get on the fast passes or the rides with our fast passes, and it was actually really fun giving out the tickets to other people.
Yeah, it was. That's one of those things, you know, well, back in the day. But hey, things are awesome now, so you can't really complain. Now, you put in this, in the notes you sent me, which I really appreciate, something about Ricky and the tea guy. So I have no idea what this is, but I have to know.
Yeah. So on the day of Epcot, Ricky, from your podcast, of course, she was actually there the same exact day. So because I'm on Instagram a lot and I follow her on Instagram and I'm following like her story. And I was trying to like see if I could find her, but we actually crossed paths somewhere like within Morocco. But what happened was, so I'm following her Instagram story. So we're going to back up a bit. So I was in the UK. One of the things I wanted to do on this trip was really like explore the each pavilion, because I feel like I don't do that enough. So like we kind of went the opposite way. We were like salmon swimming upstream. Like we didn't go Mexico first. We went like Canada and then the UK. Because I know most people go to the Mexico side first. So we were in the UK and just in one of the shops, I can't remember which one, but I saw a cast member practicing, like he was doing some kind of speech about tea, and he was like doing it, he was like kind of saying it to like another cast member, but I saw he was just like really practicing the speech, talking about like different teas. I think, I can't remember, it was like Twinings tea, I can't remember exactly which one.
That's it.
But was that it?
Yeah, there's a Twinings store there right on the corner.
Twinings. Yeah. Okay, that's what it was. It was Twinings. Sorry, I don't drink enough tea to know how to say it. But so he's talking about the speech, and I didn't think anything of it. I was just like, oh, I guess I don't know what he's doing. So I think like maybe like an hour later, I look at Ricky's Instagram story, and sure enough, she had a recording of the guy giving the speech.
She's
to
stealthy.
Her and another group. So yeah. I was like, what? That's like a really weird coincidence. And I was like, on hers. And this guy, it's like, she's filming like the group around him, around her. And like, yeah, the guy is just giving a speech about tea. And I thought it was hysterical. So
she's like a ninja, man. The other night I was eating dinner at Las Fuentes. She shows up, boom, with a Yokiero Taco Bell dog for Christmas. It was ridiculous. she pops up.
Yeah, that's funny.
That's good stuff. Now, also that night, you guys, I want to get this in because I don't think we've ever talked about this restaurant on the show yet, and it's Enzo's Hideaway. You guys ate there, so give us a mini quick review on that one.
Yeah, so we were able to steal away the couple that we were friends with that we met at to Magic Kingdom the day before. So they were staying in a big timeshare, so they were able to get away from the kids. Her parents were there, so the grandparents were taking care of the kids. So they met us over at Enzo's Hideaway in Disney Springs, and that place is phenomenal. Like, if you don't know what Enzo's Hideaway, like, backstory is, it's sort of like a speakeasy. So it's, like, down underground. Really cool vibe in there. The food was fantastic. I got the braised ribs with polenta. It was phenomenal. But it kind of like with the speakeasy, it's like it's kind of like a place where you're not supposed to be. Like it's like speakeasies are kind of like illegal for the most part. But trying to get to the bathroom was a really weird experience. And I don't know if it was part of the whole speakeasy experience, but like I just remember like going through this like weird back door down this like kind of weird back alleyway hallway. And then two of the bathrooms. So I don't know if that was part of the experience, but I assume it is because everything with Disney is a story, but I just thought it was really funny.
Yeah, you might not want to make that one too challenging. kind of want to make going to the bathroom straightforward, even if you're theming things.
I know. It was a little challenging. I mean, I found it, but yeah, it was, yeah, so. But Enzo's Hideaway was really great if anyone's interested. It was good. The service was fantastic. I mean, they're all from, I think a lot of our servers were from Italy, because it's all Italian food. So yeah, it was great.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that one. Again, being a big brother fan, I loved Enzo from years gone by, the old meow meow. He's one of my favorite players. I know it's got the same name, nice. But love that kind of vibe. The very themed dining locations. You know, I'm excited to get there. I gotta, you know, it's just there's so many places to go. You know, there's only if you're lucky, you got 6 nights to have dinners, and you know, there's 50 places you want to go.
Well, I think another good thing was like remember what I said at the beginning. Like we didn't have any reservations except for the Hollywood Studios day. So again, we decided, okay, what do we want to eat? We want to go to Disney Springs. Okay, let's see what's open. And then I saw Enzo's Hideaway. I saw Enzo's Hideaway had an opening. So we were like, okay, let's go. So, I mean, you don't have to have an ADR for every single day you go. You can be spontaneous and figure it out on the fly. And we were like, hey, at the time, I actually just opened up not too long ago. Maybe like it was only open for like a month or so. And it ended up being great. So just be spontaneous sometimes. You don't always need an ADR.
God, it's so good to hear. It's so opposite of what Disney has us trained to do right now. But you're right. I mean, it's got to be flexible and creative and, you know, where you're going to go. All right. So Sunday, you guys head over to the studios and sounds like you guys got you were early birds, right?
What do you mean?
The Hollywood studio says nobody was at the gates when you got there.
Oh, yeah. So what happened was, okay, so now our two friends who were from Atlanta, they get to the hotel around 1 a.m. the night before, because they were in Clearwater about like, I guess it's like 2 hours away. They were there for a concert. So they met us there. And then we actually had a late arrival at Hollywood Studios, probably around like noon again. When we arrived at the park, there was no one at the gates. Like literally there's like just no guests there at all. So as soon as we're walking up, there's the four of us. The cast members greeted us with like a really warm welcome. And I said that they were like waving us in. They're like, yeah, come over to us. And I told them that it was actually one of our friends, my buddy's wife. It was her first time visiting Hollywood Studios. She's never been before. And they ended up giving us fast pass tickets. So we all got fast pass tickets for whatever we want on the ride. And we ended up using it for Rock and Roller Coaster. We were going to go wait online for Rock and Roller Coaster as the first thing we did anyways. But we didn't have to. So that was another really cool experience that we had with the cast members.
So I love hearing stuff like that because, you know, it's something that doesn't cost Disney anything, but makes your day as a guest. You know, that's good to see. Now, when you're at the studios, though, it's, you know, it's a park in transition right now. How did you find your day there? Was it challenging? Were you there for the whole day? Were you there just for the morning? How'd that go?
So me and my buddy, we were there pretty much from, like early afternoon until night because I really wanted to see the Star Wars fireworks. So pretty much we did a lot of the rides. Like we did the Muppets, Star Tours. We didn't do Tower of Terror, but we kind of hung out. We actually tried out the tap house that had opened. The tap house is that brewery that went up not too at the time it was up. It was pretty new. So we went there. We just sat and grabbed drinks, ate food, not too much food. But then this is the day we had our ADRs. So we did 50s Primetime. None of us have eaten there before. And I've always heard great things. So we had an early dinner. So around, I think maybe like 4 o'clock we had the dinner. I should say late lunch. But again, great experience there. They were really funny. So after that, I think it was probably like 5:30. Both of our wives had left. And then my buddy and I, we kind of explored Launch Bay. We met Chewie, BB-8, Kylo Ren, Star-Lord and Groot. And we kind of just like hung around and got like a drink. And then we waited for the Star Wars fireworks, which were great. And then after that, we booked it out of the park because we had a 9:30 reservation at Homecoming.
Oof.
So I really wanted to eat at Homecoming.
Yes.
Like that was like my number one thing I wanted to do when we went on this trip. So again, I was proactive on the app and I just kept looking and looking and looking. And then finally, like a few days before, a 9:40 showed up. I'm like, done getting this. So that's kind of how we kind of planned our day around that. So that's why we had like a late lunch at primetime, and then we had like a very late dinner at homecoming, and it was homecoming was great. So I got the fried chicken and donuts, which were great. But my favorite thing on the menu were the chicken on cheddar cheese biscuit sliders. Best thing on the menu. We tried a lot and we ate our faces off, but they're amazing.
Oh man, I gotta try that. My buddy just sent me some Jim and Nick's cheddar biscuit mix from down in the South, and that makes me think about that. Oh, I could go for that right now. I love that kind of food. And you know, how did that work out eating that late at night? Because homecoming's not it's not Panera. It's not your light meal. It's heavy. Were you all right the next day? I bet you slept good.
Yeah, we were fine. I mean, we kind of slept in a bit the next day because it was our very last day. We had a late morning to the parks, and yeah, we were fine. I mean, it was a lot of food. We were stuffed, but I mean, we were good to go. So,
all right. So then you closed out the last day, of course, like a lot of people do. I think you go back to the Magic Kingdom for that last goodbye to Walt Disney World. Any highlights there to just kind of hit your favorites? And that was it.
Yeah, no, nothing crazy about Magic Kingdom. One thing I did want to share about Magic Kingdom real quick that I think it's something that's brought up on your show from time to time. I talked to my wife about this to make sure she was fine and to discuss this, but my wife kind of gets anxiety from big crowds now. So it's a bit tougher for her at Walt Disney World. She's just not a big crowds person. So that's another reason we kept things more relaxed and we kind of spaced things out. So actually, when we went to Magic Kingdom the first day after we broke off from our friends, I really wanted to see the new Happily Ever After show, but there was just like no chance that she was going to, because one of her worst fears is being stuck in those huge crowds. Like it's not for her. So if you're with someone that has that like kind of anxiety, like just kind of work around it. You're still going to have fun regardless. You just have to work with it and you'll be great. So, she ended up just going back to the room. I watched the fireworks, and then I think I was in the park till like 11 o'clock at night on my own. So,
that's one of those things, though. I mean, you don't want to force somebody to do something where they're uncomfortable, because then nobody's winning. And, you got to see the fireworks, you got to see Happily Ever After, and she didn't have to deal with it. But, you know, I think, too, you could get creative in things like that. Like, you know, maybe on a subsequent trip, schedule like a California Grill dinner, you know, where you could kind of see the fireworks from a distance. You're not overwhelmed, because you're right. I mean, that hub area, those shows are so amazing that it's not to be missed. But I mean, with popularity comes things like that. You know, there's side effects to everything.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, the same day she wanted to like get out of the park, like not leave the park, but just kind of like sit down. So I found an ADR at Liberty Tree Tavern around like 4:30, and we ended up getting out of the, like, just, it's kind of how you talk about the crowds on New Year's Eve on your shows, where it's like you kind of just need to sit down and just get away from the crowds for a bit. So that's always good too. So yeah, we did that to kind of help out as well.
Well, it sounds like you had a great trip. I mean, you had the 2-bedroom at Old Key West, you had friends, you had lots of good fast passes, great meals. I mean, really, what more can you ask for? So there's a great way to close out 2018 here on the podcast. But looking forward, what do you have on the horizon for your next Disney adventure?
So I think we're planning a trip in November to Walt Disney World. It's kind of in the works right now, but nothing official. But yeah, I think the first week in November is what we're looking for.
All right. Well, Matt, hey, thanks for coming on the show today and taking some time to finish up 2018 with us. And best wishes. Happy New Year for 2019.
Yeah, Happy New Year as well. And I wish you the best of luck with the podcast. And your whole journey has been very inspiring. So thank you again for giving me the inspiration to start my own show. And I wish you the best of luck in 2019.
Thanks. Same to you, buddy. I hope that podcast goes 1,000 episodes. Well, maybe I shouldn't say that to you, because you get a lot of gray hair that way. But hey, it's a fun journey. I wouldn't change a thing. But it's aged me more than I needed. But I love the journey. So yeah, Happy New Year to you.
Thank you.
All right. Don't forget. Also, I want to send a big shout out to everybody that's going to be at New Year's Eve tonight at Epcot. I'm not going to be there this year. I'm really bummed about that. I'm going to be down in Memphis, Tennessee for the Mizzou Oklahoma State bowl game. We're playing in the Liberty Bowl today against the Oklahoma State Cowboys. So hopefully we take care of business for the SEC today. But man, I'm going to be missing being at Epcot tonight. So if you're down there, remember, plan your potty breaks way in advance. Make sure you have an ADR somewhere. It's probably too late to get one, but just pack your patience, and I promise you Illuminations is going to be worth it. come midnight. So enjoy that. I wish I was there with you. But post lots of pictures for me. I need to see pictures and videos. And somebody record the finale for Illuminations tonight for me and tag me. All right. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Two great books for the Disney fan in your life. You know, not only to get your touch of Disney, but you get fired up for you know, becoming a better leader in your family and your job. So just check them out. Just drop out thewisdomofwalt.com. See everything author Jeff Barnes has to offer and pick up a copy for you or for a friend. Again, and don't forget also we have touringplans.com, been with us for years. You want to stay out of lines, and you know what? I'll tell you what, tonight at Epcot, that thing's going to pay for itself in gold. You might not even want to do any attractions tonight. You might just want to snack and hang out and, you know, dance and that kind of stuff. But if you want to get on Soarin' or Test Track, touringplans.com. Just telling you, best money you can spend. So check them out today over at touringplans.com. And again, support the show. Amazon affiliate link is brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. We appreciate that very, very much. Give us a follow on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike and at BeOurGuestPod. And we've got an amazing Facebook group, over 7,700 Disney fans there right now. So check it out, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here and, you know what, get ready for 2019. It's been a great 2018 here on the podcast. I cannot thank you enough for all the downloads, all the stories we've shared on Mondays and the call-in shows and the listener questions and the fun we've had on Fridays, debating things, talking about topics. You guys, each one of you that's downloaded the show, thank you so much because you're helping me live my dream. 2018 has been amazing, but you know what? We've got stuff in store for 2019 that we've never done here on the podcast. Of course, we've got a podcast cruise, the 12-hour live show. We're already hard at work at that to make. That's going to be the 10th annual, and that is going to be bigger and better than ever. Just so many other things with the show. We're going to grow right with you. So 2019 is full of great things for the show, and I hope that it is the best year ever for you and your family. So for Matt, I'm Mike, wishing you a great 2018 the rest of the last few hours here, and Happy New Year 2019. We'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.